Once upon a time, there was a little tailor. I think his name was Max. He had a shop in High Street up one flight. And there you'd find him all day long sitting cross-legged on his bench, sewing away for dear life. He was a scrawny little fellow, Max. I'll bet he didn't weigh 100 pounds. Oh, but he was full of beans and smart as a whip. One day about lunchtime, he was beginning to get a little hungry. So he cut himself a slice of bread and spread it with nice thick strawberry jam. While he sat there thinking how good it was going to taste, yum, 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 some nasty black flies settled down and swarmed all over it. Oh, he got so mad he grabbed the swatter and whop! He let him have it. And do you know, with that one blow, he killed no less than 7 flies. Wow, he thought. 7 at one blow. Why, that's a record. And he was so proud, he threw out his little chest and went strutting up and down his shop. By George, he cried. The whole town shall hear about this. The whole town. The whole world. He kicked aside the vest he'd been working on and sat down and cut out a belt for himself. The belt of a champion. And on it in big letters, he embroidered the words, 7 at 1 blow. There, he said, and strapped it round his waist, ready to set forth in search of adventure. But before he left, he looked around the shop to see if there was anything useful he might take with him. So help me, the only thing he could find was an old piece of cheese. But he stuck it into his pocket, just in case, and locked the door of his shop forever. As he was leaving, he saw a bird that had got caught in a bush. Don't ask me how. And being the kind of a fellow who can't pass a pin or a piece of string without picking it up, he reached into the bush and freed the bird from the tangled twigs and put it gently into his pocket with the cheese. There it fluttered and thumped for a moment and then lay quiet, overcome perhaps by the cheese. Then he went on his way. He walked and he walked till late in the afternoon he came to a mysterious wood. It was dark in there. The trees were gnarled and twisted, and as he walked along the path, he could feel strange little creatures peering at him, creatures he couldn't see. I tell you, it was a relief when he reached the end of the path and came out into the open again. There ahead of him rose a great hill, and on top of the hill stood a tower, dark against the light of the setting sun. The little tailor started plodding up the hill, and he was puffing a little by now, when all of a sudden, what was that? The tower moved! It wasn't a tower at all. It was a giant. Now, I won't say the little tailor wasn't scared, but he wasn't going to let the giant know it. He walked right up to him and shouted, "Hello, big boy. How's the weather up there?" And he threw back his coat and stuck out his tummy so the giant could see his belt. The giant wasn't very good at reading, but he spelled it out. 7 at 1 blow. And thinking the 7 were enemies the tailor had slain, he became a little respectful. But to make sure, he thought he'd test the little fellow. So he picked up a stone and squeezed it so hard that water ran out of it. "If you're so much," he said to the tailor, "let me see you do that."
"Ah, that's nothing," said the tailor. And he took the piece of cheese from his pocket and squeezed it till the whey ran out. "What's whey? Go ask your mother." The giant was amazed, for he thought the cheese was a stone. But still he wasn't convinced. He picked up another stone and threw it straight into the air. So far it went clear out of sight before it fell to the ground again. "Nice wing," said the tailor.
"Let me see you throw as far," said the giant.
The tailor was ready for that, too. He put his hand into his pocket again and, seizing the bird, threw it quickly into the air. The bird, of course, flew straight out of sight and never returned.
"Huh," said the giant. "Let me see how you are at lifting things."
He led the tailor to a huge oak tree that had been chopped down.
"If you're so strong," he said, "help me carry this tree."
"Always glad to help a friend," the little fellow replied. "Tell you what I'll do. I'll even take the heavy end. You pick up the trunk and I'll carry the top and the branches."
Sure enough, the giant grabbed hold and wheezed and grunted. Till at last he got the trunk of the tree up on his shoulder, and he went staggering along with his knees buckling under him. And where was our little friend? Carrying the top? Not at all. He'd climbed up into the branches where he couldn't be seen and let the giant carry him as well as the tree. When you come right down to it, giants are not very smart.
No. They're not very smart, but they're tricky. The giant said nothing, but presently when they came to a cherry tree, he took hold of the top of it and pulled it down so his little companion could get hold of it.
Here, he said, have some cherries. But when the tailor took hold, the giant let go, and zing! The tree snapped back and shot the little tailor into the air.
Luckily, he was nimble as a cat and managed to land on his feet without hurting himself. Well, sir, the giant laughed fit to bust.
Was that little twig too strong for you, Sonny? He asked.
Not at all, said the tailor. I saw some hunters aiming a gun this way. Probably took you for a moose. I was afraid they'd shoot, so I jumped over the tree. And by the way, let me see you do it. Well, there the giant knew the little tailor had him. So he slapped him on the back and told him he was a fine fellow, and invited him to spend the night at his cave nearby.
Now listen, if a giant ever invites you to spend the night with him, don't do it.
Yes, sir, I can think of a lot cozier places to spend the night than in a giant's cave. And to make matters worse, the giant had several friends spending the weekend with him. Boys, said the giant, I want you to meet my little friend here. They were some of the biggest and roughest boys you ever saw. And the little tailor didn't like the way they looked at him. He pleaded that he was very sleepy and said he guessed he'd turn right in. The giant showed him to his bed, which was about the size of a ballpark, and the little tailor knelt down beside it and said his prayers. He said them twice. And then when the giant had left, instead of climbing into bed, he curled up in a far corner of the cave. It was just as well he did, for in the middle of the night when it was dark, and the giant thought the little tailor was asleep, he seized his great club, sneaked over to the bed, and with one mighty blow, he smashed the bed in two. Then believing he'd killed his little guest, he went back to sleep and dreamed of chasing butterflies. Nice fellow. The little tailor, hiding in his corner, waited till he heard the giant snoring. Then, zip, he was out of there and running as fast as his little legs would carry him. He ran and he ran and he ran and he ran, till he was far from the giant's cave. A little after daylight, he came to the courtyard of a palace. It looked like a safe spot, and he was so tired, he lay right down there and went to sleep. One of the palace guards, on his regular morning beat, came upon the little fellow stretched out there on the grass and was about to poke him with his spear and tell him to move on when he spied the tailor's belt and the words, 7 at one blow. He was so impressed, he ran to the king with the news. Now, the king had been trying to build up his army, and it seemed to him that a man who could kill 7 at one blow was the very man he needed. So instead of having the little fellow kicked off the grass, he woke him up and offered to make him a general. I'm available, said the tailor. You're hired, said the king. Start giving orders. Fall in, cried the tailor, and the army fell in. The king soon found, however, that he'd not made as smart a move as he thought. The other officers were all outraged at having a stranger put in command, and they went to the king in a body and resigned. The king was up a tree. A general without an army was no use to him, but he didn't know how to get rid of a man who could kill 7 at one blow. He thought and he thought. Finally sent for the tailor and made him an offer. In a certain wood, he said, there lived 2 giants who had been raising Ned around there, robbing and burning and plundering. If the tailor could kill these outlaws, the king said, he would give him his only daughter for a wife and half his kingdom besides. Not a bad offer. Of course, the king never thought the tailor would come back alive. What do you think? Giants aren't hard to find, especially if you're looking for them. The little tailor found this pair lying asleep under a tree, snoring like a couple of steamboats. The first thing he did was fill his pockets with stones. Then he climbed the tree till he was well above them and started pelting one of the big lugs. At first, the giant thought he was being bothered by flies, and he kept trying to brush them away. But finally, he became annoyed and woke up and said to the other giant, "Cut it out." "Cut what out?" "Quit poking me." "Oh, go back to sleep," said his companion. "You're dreaming." The giant closed his eyes again, and the little tailor hummed to himself, "Rock-a-bye, baby." And then he let the giant have it with the biggest rock he had. "That does it," shouted the giant. He leaped up and grabbed the other giant and landed a blow in his jaw that sent him crashing against a tree. The second giant came back at him like a madman. They went at it hammer and tongs. Oh, zeef, ow, crunch, gee.
They got so mad they tore up trees and beat each other over the head with them, till they both fell dead at once. And when the king's men arrived on the spot, there they found the brave little tailor standing with his foot on a giant's neck and all the trees torn up for yards around. "Tell the king," he said, "that I'll take his daughter now, not to mention half his kingdom." Well, there was nothing for the king to do but name the wedding day, and so the princess and the little tailor were married. One night, a few weeks later, when the princess was lying awake, she heard her husband talking in his sleep. As usual, he was giving orders, but such strange orders. "Baste that vest, me lad, and get busy on those trousers," he muttered. "And be smart about it, or I'll box your ears." The princess was very troubled. Could he be losing his mind? The next morning, she went to her father and told him what she'd heard. Immediately, the king smelled a rat. He knew then that his son-in-law was only a tailor, and the thought was more than he could bear. But the king, I'm sorry to say, was quite a snob. "I'll tell you what, my dear," said the king. "When you go to bed tonight, leave your door open." "But why, Papa?" she asked. "Never mind," said the king. "Just do as I say." Well, she did. Never suspecting that out in the hall were half a dozen of the king's men with orders to wait till the little tailor fell asleep and then rush in and tie him up and ship him out of the country. The only flaw in the scheme was that the little tailor found out about it. He must have, because soon after he went to bed, he began talking in a loud voice. "Baste that vest, me lad, and get busy on those trousers, or I'll box your ears. And don't think I can't do it. I've killed 7 at one blow and slain 2 giants. And I'm not afraid of those men standing outside my door, either. Do you hear?" At these words, the men were so terrified, they fled like rats. And from that day on, there was never any question who was boss in that household or that kingdom. Yes, sir, he was a brave little tailor.